I've heard before that there's I kind of believe it too, that even if we did come out with a general opinion from your commission and your recommendations, and it all sounds about the best. And there's also talk of the regional for-profit corporations not being in the best interest for them, and other organizations not directly benefiting from any of the repeal or any revisions or amendments to the act, that we will not have a consensus on it, and we will not have a general opinion, therefore we would not have any action taken. I don't know if hopefully that's not the case in some of the critical issues that we face, but I tend to believe that, because of the for-profit corporations are the one that's going to hurt in some of the revisions, and transferring of the land from the village corporations to the traditional councils and the IRAs, the corporations would lose out because they have no, they'll lose their assets, and that's their only assets they got if they're not a really successful corporation. And if they do that, the profit corporation will be hurt. I think that's one of the issues that's going to be pretty tough to resolve, and that'll take time, and that'll just hinder our success or overcoming the Land Claims Act.
Well, I've had, besides holding these meetings in the bush, I've held roundtable discussions in Anchorage that are conducted in public and transcribed, and I've invited leaders of the regional corporations and leaders of the tribal movement to come. And we've had leaders of both come and talk at the same table about these very questions, so that if they keep talking to each other, maybe they can work out a consensus. And at the last meeting we had in December, Byron Malott, who is the president of the largest regional corporation, Sea Alaska, he said, look, running these corporations takes all your time. You can't think about cultural objectives. You can't think about the long-term interests of Native people as a people. You're trying to make money. You're trying to meet the bottom line. And he said, I have to tell you, that's the way it is. He's an Indian from Yakutat who heads the Sea Alaska. And he said, we have to think about how we're going to protect this land, and maybe we're going to have the corporations give the land up and have it held by somebody else. Now, that was going pretty far for the head of the biggest corporation. And Sheldon Kachetag, the president of the United Tribes of Alaska, was there. And he said, I think there has to be a place for the corporations in the future. And he said, I want to thank the Byron Malott and the other corporate heads for keeping our land for the last 14 years. I was trying to get these guys together so that they could start talking together about common problems and work out common solutions. And I think that all this talk around the state that we've had has helped. And if you keep talking with each other, I think you'll work out a consensus on how to handle this. But in the end, it's going to be up to you. I think, Mr. Hill, you had a question. No? Yeah, okay.
A personal opinion from you I'm pretty sure you saw the resolution that was in the last round table meetings. I attended some of it, but I didn't testify because my concerns were being voiced already, so I didn't feel the need to reiterate any of that.
You were at the round table,
weren't you? Yeah.
Yes, I was there. Yeah. But there was a resolution there that I thought was pretty interesting. It was a repeal of some of the provisions in the act. Now, I want your personal opinion on that, if you can.
There's a resolution being circulated about repealing certain provisions of ANCSA, but I think that that it's a little early to start drafting specific amendments to the act. I really want to know what people are thinking out in the bush, because the next time this thing has changed, it had, I hope, for your sake, it is done right, so that you don't then spend another 10 or 20 years trying to get it changed again. And that's why I think it's better to find out what people have on their minds before we start saying, okay, here's the change we want. Let's clarify how people feel about the land, subsistence, and all of these other questions first. Yes, sir.
What the commission and rest of the villages that you are discussing on the 7I issue, the surface and subsurface estate, will that divide us, or what?
7I is a tough question. The regional corporations own the subsurface, not in all the villages, but in just about 90% of them. And a lot of village people say we should have the subsurface back. Let us have the subsurface. That's a tough question, and I'll do my best to wrestle with it, but that isn't an easy one. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was thinking about also our way of lifestyle, but I mentioned in the testimony here. Recent years here now, we've been having this problem also with the limit entry commission with the commercial fishing in Bristol Bay. Okay, a lot of our following residents here in this Bristol Bay region here is left out. And it happens to be their way of lifestyle, it's their livelihood, and it's also the actions of the state. And it's too bad that it has to be that way, where people from California along the West Coast have more rights to that fishery and make a living at it than we are. And about a year ago, I wrote circulated a letter to the governor and all the way to Washington, D.C. with this concern. And I worded the letter not because I was concerned about it, because also my fellow citizens. It only drives us to more welfare burdens and recipients, and this is just what it boils down to.
That's a good point. Some of the people here yesterday mentioned limited entry. They said that some folks were left out when limited entry started. But even worse than that, some of the people who have permits have sold them. And they pointed out if they'll sell their limited entry permits, then they'll probably sell their shares in 1991.
So what I'm saying here, just an example right here of what we're going to be faced with by 1991. Yeah. If we don't watch or maybe express our opinion and our feelings and or to our best interest of what we should have within our land claim.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, spoke earlier. That's the point about limited entry is an important point.
I'm Nancy Del Cady from Nundalton, and I have to agree that there probably will be a lot of people trying to sell their stocks and lands in 1991. But I think if the corporations gave us a reason for not selling them besides subsistence, if we could get some kind of use out of the land, the people, there's a lot of people that are not, that didn't get native allotments, that were not eligible for native allotments, and there was people that wasn't eligible for 14C. What happens to those people? Where do they get their lands from if it wasn't passed on to them from their grandparents or their parents? So the village corporations should make some kind of provision where these people would be able to build someplace on the corporation lands if they don't own land.
Some of the village corporations have given 5-acre home sites to their shareholders, some 10-acre home sites. So that's something that can be done now.
The way I see it, the corporation is so busy wheeling and dealing in the business world, they don't really take time out and see what the shareholders' needs are. And I think if they had more input from their shareholders, and the shareholders understanding what's going on, when they send out financial reports, how many people in the villages can read those financial reports and understand them?
Yes, Daniel.
I was just wondering if you know about what or how successful that one village was in transferring their lands, their corporate lands, over to the IRA. I think it was the IRA.
It's Akiachuk. Well, Akiachuk is transferring its corporation lands to the IRA, but or at least to the traditional government, I believe. But that's only taking place right now, so we'll just wait and see how that turns out. They're kind of being a guinea pig, I guess.
Okay, and this afterborns, what the other village thinks about what they think is the solution to the afterborns after 1971, what's going to happen to those people, I mean, 91?
Well, they're going to be 20 years old and they won't have any shares. Maybe a way can be worked out for shares to be issued to them. Maybe there will have to be a different kind of solution. But I think everybody in the villages has made it clear they want the afterborns included in the settlement. Yeah. Okay, well, anybody else? Well, thanks very much. All of you for coming. I've done a lot of talking, but you did a lot of talking too. We had 35 people who spoke, and that's a pretty good group of people testifying, and it was very helpful to me. And we're going on to Anchorage, but we're going to the Dillingham meeting of BBNA in February 23rd. And we're going to hold another hearing there, right at the Native Convention in Dillingham in February 23rd or 24th. So maybe we'll see some of you at that time. If in the meantime there's something else you want to say, you can write me a letter, you know, and I'll treat it just as if you had said it here. And you can write that to our address in Anchorage, which is on those pieces of paper. So you've all got the address. So if you want to write a letter about any of these questions, just feel free to sit down and write it. And I hope maybe we'll see some of you in Dillingham in late February at the Native Convention. And anyway, thanks for coming, and wish you good luck.
Yeah, if you got any ride up to the airport, the city van or by the city office will be available. Thank you.
Thank you both for coming and for bringing all those folks from Nundalton. They really made a contribution. Yeah, nice to see you.
Yeah. I did a lot of talking with Sheldon. He's quite a radical type of person.
It's been very interesting.
Okay, nice to see you.
It really got me thinking.
Yeah, well, keep